We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning. 95.7 The Game. Proud to offer you us, Jolo and Dibs, as we continue the conversation that's been going on for the last half hour. We weren't even planning this. We stumbled into it, but you guys have lit up the phone lines and the text line. The number is 888-957-9570. The text line is 95795. Essentially, what we were kicking around is, what would need to happen? What would a player of similar caliber to Colin Kaepernick need to do in order for the NFL to choose Kaepernick over that player? You read off Pac-Man Jones's rap sheet. You go through some of the instances that have occurred. Michael Vick, Dante Stallworth, Greg Hardy, on and on down the list. Individuals who got second chances. So what would actually be worse than a guy who's an activist? Because if he can't get a job, and we went through the backup quarterback situation around the NFL, if you can't beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick and Scott Tolzien and Ryan Mallett because of your beliefs, your political stance, what would someone need to do to be viewed in a worse light in the NFL than you? 888-957-9570. That in a moment. Right now, Dibs with your update.
Well, the trade deadline is still 5 days away, but the Giants are getting busy. They made their first move before the deadline, shipping Eduardo Nunez to Boston. San Francisco gets a couple of minor league pitchers. Sean Anderson playing an A-ball, and Gregory Santos, a 17-year-old playing in the Dominican Summer League. Eduardo Nunez had a nice farewell to San Francisco.
And he drives one to right. This is hit well. And it is off of archway number one. Bumgarner scores. Here comes Spann. And he is going to score.
Dwayne Kuiper, NBC Sports, Bay Area, the call. They beat the Pirates 11-3. Madison Bumgarner, first win of the year. The rubber game today with Jeff Samardzija getting the ball. A's unable to get Bob Melvin, career win number 1,000. They fall in Toronto 4-1. Sonny Gray gives up four unearned runs in front of a dozen or so scouts. He made a throwing error and took the loss. 3:15 today, A's and Blue Jays here on 95.7 The Game. Story number three, NFL training camps opening around football today. The Bills, Falcons, Packers, Rams, and Redskins open their camp. Raider rookies are already in place. The veterans report tomorrow. Check that the veterans report Friday. The 49ers will get their rookies and their veterans in camp tomorrow. The update brought to you by Capital Oak Tree Mazda. You see it everywhere. The DGDG.com yellow license plate. So where will you see it next? Check us out at DGDG.com. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
Right to the phones. Rick in Palo Alto, thank you for calling the show. The floor is yours. Rick, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I love the topic. I think it's definitely interesting to discuss this morning. One quick thought. Everyone's saying, you know, the country is making progress in X, Y, and Z areas. I just moved to the Bay Area, and I'm telling you, everyone here lives in a bubble. The country is nowhere close to where everyone on the coast is feeling and thinking. So just keep that in mind. I know that obviously the audience is Bay Area, but the country is at a different place than these bubbles that we live in here in the Bay Area. To answer the question around cap, I don't think it matters what someone would have to do to take cap over them. It just comes down to visibility. You look at Ray Rice, right? You're saying people are getting off with domestic violence and getting jobs in the NFL, but what about Ray Rice? He had domestic violence just like anyone else, but his was so incredibly visible with that horrible, visceral tape that went viral. I haven't seen anything of Greg Hardy hitting somebody, right? And so we live in a society that unfortunately is out of sight, out of mind. If it's not incredibly visible, then people aren't going to care. So you look at Kaepernick every single week, he's taking a knee. People are talking about it in interviews. You've got every camera in the stadium pointed at him during the national anthem. Beyonce singing, doesn't matter. We're looking at him taking a knee. It's the amount of visible attention that he got. And he doesn't need to be better than any of those other backups. He doesn't want to owners don't want to bring him in because he's a distraction because of the level of visibility.
Appreciate the phone call, Rick. I think you make an excellent point there. Do we, the video, the fact that we can see it, that we can rewind it, that we can play it over and over and over again and be horrified by it, has a lot to do with it. Do we suddenly believe that the last 5 to 10 years are the first times that there have been shootings of police officers on unarmed black men? No, that's probably been going on for a long time, but we didn't have cell phones recording everything back in the day, so those stories were easier to probably sweep under the rug. Now, everybody's paparazzi, so all this stuff ends up on the internet, and it's outrageous because we never had to confront it to the extent that we have now. So that's an excellent point. The ability to see it probably has more of an effect than, say, maybe a Greg Hardy where we can hear about it, but there's always the, well, creeping doubt in the back of your mind.
And, Joe, the fact that we hear about the fact that the officer gets charged or doesn't get charged and then gets exonerated, you know, 100% rate of the officer being proven innocent. And back pre-internet, you might read about it in the USA Today. If you get it in the paper the next day, it might be a three-paragraph blurb. But now either the court is live or we're going live on CNN or MSNBC. They're doing live coverage. And so the information about all these incidents is a lot more widespread. And so there's more outrage when yet another white officer is exonerated.
Daryl in Oakland, thanks for calling the show. Your thoughts, Daryl, go ahead.
Hey, morning, fellas. And the fact that they really don't care about those lives being lost versus a guy taking a knee to protest that, I think says a lot about this country, too. Good points by the previous caller. You know, what I would say would have to be worse is their transgression would have to go all the way to court and then prosecution and then conviction, a.k.a. Aaron Hernandez and a Ray Caruth, for example. That's the only way the NFL is going to say, yeah, you know, we're done with these guys. And the other thing I'll say is I think that the Mara outrage, the Mara excuse for why they wouldn't bring anyone, Colin Kaepernick, to the New York Giants, is really kind of an excuse. I mean, they're going to get emails and texts and things along and whatever calls they get from fans saying, we'll give up our season tickets. But first of all, I don't believe those fans are going to give up their season tickets for that. Those season tickets are too hard to get. And plus, there'll be someone ready to fill those seats as soon as they give them up. So I think it was a convenient excuse for the Mara family. I think it's unfortunate. It's really too bad. I hope Colin can get a job here pretty soon. And I think he will be remembered in history when these issues do come up, not as an everyday, hey, remember Colin Kaepernick taking a knee? But when you go back and look at the Bill Russells and the Kareem Abdul-Jabbars and Jim Browns protesting back in the 60s and sitting out, or at least making their voices heard, when those issues come up, that's when they'll remember Colin Kaepernick. Thanks, fellas.
Good call, Daryl. Thank you very much. The one argument that comes up frequently in this conversation is that Colin just isn't a good quarterback. That's why he doesn't have a job. How many teams has he played for throughout his NFL career?
One
team. And he played in a Super Bowl. Yeah, he had some down seasons. He also had some good seasons. How many teams did Tim Tebow play for? Denver, where he had a good season, much like Colin. All right, so he got another chance with the Jets. How did that go? Then a chance with Philadelphia. Then a chance with New England. Say what you want. He had four different teams that gave him an opportunity.
Right.
This is a guy who had his original opportunity. They parted ways. We all saw it coming. I don't think there's any hard feelings there. You knew it was time for a change with the Niners. But there's 31 other teams. Not a single chance.
I'll go further than that, Joe. Name me one quarterback in the history of the NFL that was a starter. And after their contract was up, that was still young. In the history, they didn't get a second chance.
I got one, but a lot of people aren't going to want to hear it. Jamarcus Russell.
Ooh. Yeah.
although I believe the Washington Redskins at one point did give him a look several years later when he said he was getting into shape. Still a great point, but yeah. Somehow, some way, there was the anomaly.
Yeah.
But no, you make a great point.
Very few. But Jamarcus Russell, the guy couldn't do anything, but now I guarantee there's not, can't be two or three. It can be. Just I look at that and you look at it and I think a lot of it comes down to guilt, and people don't want to talk about it. I think it's guilt that when you look at officers, and I have friends that are officers, and you don't want to think that, and you don't want to look at that. It could be someone in your family, it could be someone that you know, And you don't want the perception of all officers are bad, and they're not. And that's what people have to realize. You can't look at this thing as a black-white issue. You can't look at this thing as just all cops are against blacks. That's reverse racism. You have to look at it and take it for what it is. And when there's one or two or five or whatever it may be, you shouldn't judge everyone. It's just no difference than you see a black guy, you see his pants down, it's 4 or 5 and walking on the street, and you see something about, and you get yourself and you walk on the other side of the road and say, those guys. But you can't judge all black people for how other people carry themselves. Whether it's a skinhead, you see them doing certain things, and you can't judge all white people that have bald head or have a tattoo and think that they're all skinheads. It's just the perception of people sometimes don't want to be real, and so they clump everyone in. And I think that it's silly by us as Americans to think that all officers are bad, think that all people that have bald heads or wearing baggy pants that are going to create a crime, you know, going to do a crime. So I think that's a huge disconnect. And I think that's where a lot of the fault lies in everyone.
What you're saying, don't let the actions of a few speak for the entire group.
Absolutely.
Right? Individuals.
Absolutely.
Judged individually.
Sure.
Rather than lump an entire group into the actions of just a few people.
I think it's frustrating, though, for people to see officer after officer getting exonerated.
I agree.
In these, quote, accidental shootings. Or you mentioned Eric Garner earlier. I believe he was the one who was choked.
Choked in New York City.
Just straight up choked. And yet, I mean, you look at that situation and you can't help but think that that's outright homicide, yet the officer gets off yet again. And I think that's a big reason why there's such a disconnect.
Well, how about this? We had the caller earlier who talked about, because the Ray Rice situation was on video, it was...
it's more visceral.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out the best way to put it, but because we had that on video versus Greg Hardy, for example, it was easier to go ahead and keep him out of the NFL. Because it was there, it had more of an impact. But then on the flip side, you have the Eric Garner situation, which is on video. Everyone saw it and nothing happened. Like right there. Why is it that we can see what happened with Ray Rice? We can see what happened in that elevator and everyone can go, keep him out of the NFL. Go ahead and point to the fact that he only averaged 3.1 yards per carry last year. We'll go ahead and sell that. Keep him out. That was hard. But then when you see the abuse, when you see the misconduct, when you see the video of the individual being choked out and dying, that's not enough for a jury to react in favor of that individual. Why is it that it only works the one way?
I think that's
troubling.
It's very troubling. And I think, in my opinion, it speaks to a deep problem we have with racism, where you see the African-American punching his fiance in the elevator, and it's to what Lo was saying. It's like, oh, you know, it's scary black guy
right.
syndrome. Whereas you see the white officer choking out Eric Garner, and you think, well, there must be something we didn't see there where he was fighting back.
Did it hit close to home when Lo was talking about bald white guys?
No, not really. I'm not bald. I'm balding. And when you'll hopefully never get there, Joe, with your gorgeous head of hair.
No. I'm closing in. I make my jokes now because I know what the future
10
will.
Years ago, hold. I had a lot more hair, but right now I'm not bald. I'm simply balding. I'm not Brian Baldinger, but I'm definitely balding. So it's a lot different from being bald, though. Being bald, you got no shot.
Right.
Mr. Clean is bald. I got hair. I'm just losing it.
You do.
It's a big difference, Joe.
All right. He's the NFL lead scout for Bleacher Report. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. One of the best minds in the business, Matt Miller with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Matt, good morning and thank you for your time. We appreciate it. Let's jump right into the Oakland Raiders and their rookies. What are we getting once they eventually get on the field in cornerback Gary Conley and safety Obi Melifonwu?
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, with Conley, I think you're getting one of the most technically savvy corners to come out of college in maybe the last 5 years. I mean, just incredible awareness. I mean, he understands alignment. He understands the leverage, how to play the ball. He doesn't get beat often. That was the one thing that always impressed me when I would watch Conley is, you know, his teammate Marshon Lattimore was a better athlete. Conley was a better corner. You know, he reminded me a lot of Kevin Johnson, who was a top 15 pick by the Houston Texans out of Wake Forest a few years ago. Like, he's NFL ready. On the other side of that, you have second-round pick, Obi Melifonwu, tremendous athlete. And I'm so glad that they're putting him at free safety and not at corner because at UConn, you know, he kind of bounced around. And there was some talk about maybe he would play corner because of his speed and his height. But when I watch him and I've seen him play in person, as well as on film, he doesn't have football instincts. He did make a ton of tackles as, you know, kind of the last line of defense for UConn, but you know, I just did not see a guy who attacked the ball. I didn't see someone who, you know, understood how to use his athleticism to make some of the dominant plays you would expect from a guy who, I mean, he was the freak of the combine. I mean, it was all anyone talked about. So I think the potential for Melifonwu is really high, but he's going to need some good coaching to get there.
So how much does that impact the Raiders as far as what they want to do in the secondary, considering neither player right now is in camp? You're saying that Conley has a better chance to play catch-up than Olafonwu does?
Yeah, I think so, because I think Conley, I mean, come on, coming out of Ohio State with how well they're coached, the level of competition you play, and you can just look at the D-backs they've churned out in the past few years. I mean, Urban Meyer and his guys know what they're doing there. So I think Conley is much closer to being pro-ready, and he needs to be. You know, with David Amerson, Sean Smith, Travis Carey, you would like to get Gary and Conley in the mix early on. Now, I think with Reggie Nelson, you're okay at free safety for this year. So there's not going to be that rush to get Melifonwu on the field. On the other side of it, I think at corner, like if you draft somebody in the first round, you are hoping they can make an impact. So, you know, I mean, hopefully we'll eventually, you know, maybe he'll get signed. Maybe we'll figure out what's going on with his illegal situation, because it's odd that it's been so quiet up to this point.
I couldn't agree with you more. So both these young men, if, like you said, if it's they all get slotted, you're drafted, you're slotted, you're slid into a spot. Is it because these guys have the potential to play this year, and that they're going to maybe play this year? That's where their agents is holding them out. Is it more for the incentives, likely not to be earned, so they think they're getting more play time? So why wouldn't they sign? You know, you got two, not one. So what, in your opinion, when you were talking about that regard?
Yeah, I can't figure it out either. There's no reason to hold out anymore. You know, quote unquote hold out. It's not like it used to be.
Sure.
Because all these deals are slotted. So are you trying to get more guaranteed money? Like for first round picks, sometimes we'll see guys, you know, like Joey Bosa hold out because it's about deferment of a bonus that's being paid. But he was the number three pick in the draft. You know, Conley was a late first round pick. Melifonwu was a second round pick. You have no reason to be holding up, to not be on the field. I think with Conley, it might be the team waiting until he's essentially cleared, you know, by the police in Ohio, and they can say, okay, he wasn't involved in this. You know, he's not going to be charged with anything. You kind of want to cover your rear a little bit. But with Melifonwu, I have no idea why he hasn't been signed yet. There's no reason. I mean, he has to be the only second-round pick that I can think of that hasn't been signed at this point.
He's one of only four players. It's the two Raiders, Conley and Melifonwu, the wide receiver out of Tennessee, Corey Davis, and then who's the fourth one? Solomon Thomas, which is a perfect segue. Tell us about Solomon Thomas. Once he gets signed, what are the Niners getting?
Man, a great pass rusher and a great kid. I was a little late on Solomon Thomas because he was a redshirt sophomore. So, it's, you know, you try to prioritize when you're in my job. And I kept hearing from scouts, man, this kid at Stanford. Okay, let me check him out. Kid from Stanford was the real deal. I mean, he's the total package. He's not the biggest guy, but neither is Aaron Donald, and he's pretty good. And I think that you can draw some comparisons there because of how quick he is through the gaps, how football smart he is. And so in this new 4-3 defense the Niners are going to run, I expect that Solomon Thomas is going to line up at that three technique position, and he's going to shoot that gap between the guard and tackle over and over again. There's nothing holding this kid back from having 8 to 10 sacks this year. And he could also play defensive end. In sub packages, he can play defensive end. So he could be on the field as much as you want him to be, and he's going to be an instant impact. I mean, I just mentioned Joey Bosa. The impact he had for the Chargers last year, I think Solomon Thomas is going to have that type of impact for the Niners defense this year.
I couldn't agree with you more. He's a boy dog. The guy's quick. He's strong. He's physical. I like Solomon Thomas so much. I think that the Niners really got a gem in that draft. How about a quarterback that people saw at a college and, you know, he beat Alabama? Deshaun Watson didn't go as high as I thought he should have. What do you think he's going to bring to the Houston Texans? And is this guy going to take this team to the playoffs?
You know, I love Deshaun Watson. I think that's such a good fit for him. And it's funny, like, you know, he was my number two ranked quarterback. But you go to a situation that's so perfect that you just kind of fall in love with it. You're like, gosh, you know, they have the offense around him. You know, they bolstered the wide receiver core in last year in the 2016 draft. They have an emerging offensive line. They have a good run game. So I could see Deshaun Watson, with how great that defense is, taking them to the playoffs. I mean, they made the playoffs last year with Brock Osweiler and Tom Savage at quarterback. So I can see Deshaun Watson coming in. You know, maybe he doesn't have that Dak Prescott rookie of the year type performance, but he can be like solid enough driving that ship, you know, not turning the ball over, making plays with his arm and his feet to give them the offense that they've been lacking. Because we know the defense is good enough to get the job done. And now they're going to be able to do it with J.J. Watt back. So you don't have to be Tom Brady at quarterback for that team to win 9, 10, 11 games. And hopefully Watson does get the job. I think that of the quarterbacks in last year's draft, he was definitely most ready to come right in and play.
Agreed with that assessment. Matt Miller joining us here on 95.7 The Game. What other team, as we head into camp, are you most excited to keep an eye on as a possible surprise here in 2017?
Yeah, I'll be watching the Tennessee Titans closely, and I don't even know if they qualify as a surprise anymore, but if Marcus Mariota was healthy, I'm telling you guys, he has a chance to be a top-10 quarterback in the NFL early this season. He doesn't turn the ball over in the red zone. He is incredibly accurate. He's smart, and now he has weapons. With adding Corey Davis, with adding Eric Decker, that young offensive line is going to be a year better. They have a deep and talented backfield. I am so excited to see what Mariota can do this year. I think they might be a little weak on defense. You know, I think they're a little old at pass rusher. They need some guys like Kevin Dodd to step up. They need Adoree Jackson to be good this year. But I am so excited about that Tennessee offense.
Matt Miller, NFL lead scout for Bleacher Report with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. I want to go back to the Niners for a moment. There's some speculation that perhaps fourth-year running back Carlos Hyde may be a surprise cut by the end of training camp. Joe Williams, running back out of Utah, was selected by the Niners in the middle rounds. Is he the type of guy that might be ready to handle a big workload for the Niners should they need that early in the season?
I mean, could. You know, my concern with Joe Williams is always just, I mean, this is a kid who walked away from his team. So that's a concern for me. Whatever reason that he had, he came out with some reasons that he, you know, wanted to be away from the team, but that's a big concern. But he has speed. And I think in Kyle's offense, where you want that outside zone, you want one cut speed, I think Joe Williams could be a good player. Tim Hightower could be a good player. You know, you could go back and, I think, you know, Kyle's offense is going to be compared to his dad's a lot, but how many times did they roll out guys like Olandis Gary and, you know, Mike Anderson, who were churning out 1,200-yard seasons? I don't know if Joe Williams or Tim Hightower is capable of that, but you can at least get some quality from them. And, you know, something I even said to you guys before the draft, because it was when we were talking about Leonard Fournette potentially being a target for the Niners at two, was that Carlos Hyde can't stay healthy. And so when you have a guy who's taking up a roster spot, can't stay healthy, he's not going to contribute on special teams, that makes you a little more expendable. And I would try to trade him. I wouldn't try to cut him if they're deciding to go in a different direction. But I also would say that with John Lynch and with Kyle there, everyone's job is on the line. So you can't be the guy who's constantly hurt. You have to be a contributor.
Follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout, NFL Lead Scout for Bleacher Report, Matt Miller, with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Matt, thank you so much for your time this morning. Terrific insight as usual. We look forward to doing it again down the road.
Looking forward to it, guys. Have a good one.
I'll tell you, the Niners have a lot of intriguing prospects this year. Solomon Thomas, people, 8 to 10 sacks. That's
wow.
A big number for a rookie pass rusher. Especially based on what we've seen from the two rookie pass rushers that were drafted out of Oregon each of the last 2 years by the Niners.
Yeah, but John Lynch and Cal wasn't here to draft this guy. You and I, you showed me some tape of this guy, and we watched him play. He's got it. And the thing about it, a lot of guys come in the National Football League on defense, and they're not strong enough. They're big, they're athletic, but they're not strong.
He's a freak show.
Yeah.
He's a California Redwood.
He is. And he's physical, and he's strong in the weight room. He can do it all. He can play the three between the guard and the center. He can play the nine, wide nine, play defensive end. This guy's going to flourish. I like him a lot. We like him. That's why he's off the board, and that's why John Lynch did a great job of getting this guy.
Is it too early to say that the Solomon Thomas-Reuben Foster combo is the next Warren Sapp-Derek Brooks combo?
That's might be a little soon.
Is it too soon? Camp hasn't opened yet, but is it too soon?
I'll tell you right now, I don't know if the running back.
I want to make it clear I was joking around.
I know you were joking. I don't know if the linebacker is going to be what D. Brooks was, but I'll tell you right now, Solomon has the want to, and I think he's going to be just as every good as he could be, just as good as a Warren Sapp, because he works. Warren athletic ability, had tremendous athletic ability, but didn't necessarily have the work ethic that a lot of guys like this have. This young man has a motor. He's got good hips. Not only does he have a motor, he's physical. He's quick. He has a lot. This guy's going to be special. I think this guy, as a rookie, will be defensive lineman, defensive player of the year as a rookie, even on a bad team.
That's a big-time prediction. That's high praise. And the Niners would love it if they could be the next Justin Smith and Patrick Willis,
yeah,
for crying out loud. Because,
or just be two starters that could hold it down for a few years.
Yeah, more than a few years, though. When you invest those high of picks,
sure,
you're hoping these guys are going to be there for 5 to 10 years.
Without a doubt.
Don't let Warren Sapp hear you talking about him like that.
Oh, Warren knows. What would he do?
Eat you for lunch.
Yeah, you think so. Tell
literally,
him,
you ever seen him eat lunch?
He knows where I'm at. He knows where I'm at.
Alex Pavlovich, next, with the latest. The Giants, they're not done yet. So what should we expect in the next 24 hours? Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
He's our Giants insider for NBC Sports Bay Area. You can follow him on Twitter at PavlovichNBCS. Alex Pavlovich with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Alex, good morning. The big news for the Giants yesterday evening, Eduardo Nunez traded to the Red Sox for two prospects, right-handed pitcher Sean Anderson and right-handed pitcher Gregory Santos. How'd the Giants make out in this deal?
I actually think they did okay. I think, you know, I know people always look at these prospect lists and they want a top 10 guy, but look, Nunez is basically a utility guy for the most part. I mean, he'll probably play third base in Boston, but utility guy with a couple months left on his deal. So I think to get somebody who was in their top 20 is pretty good. And then on top of that, I'm always a fan of acquiring those 17, 18 year olds that are playing in rookie ball somewhere, because there is a lot more growth there. So it's more of a lottery ticket, but look, down the line, you never know. I think they certainly did pretty well given what they gave up last year.
Without a doubt, and now the attention turns toward other pieces with whom they might part, particularly Johnny Cueto or Jeff Samardzija. Would those trade possibilities be more salary dump, for lack of a better description, than they would be trying to really get a lot of prospects in return?
Samardzija would. You know, once you add up how much is left on that deal, and I know his name has been thrown around a lot. I don't see it as being that realistic, because it's kind of a sliding scale where you get to the point where the Giants look at it and go, well, how much money do we have to throw in, and what are we actually giving up here? A guy who throws 200 innings every year, and they don't have a lot of pitching on the way. So that, to me, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then Cueto, I mean, I know his name was thrown out again yesterday, but the guy's on the DL. So I don't understand how he's in trade rumors right now. I think he has to get back, and he has to pitch a couple times and show that the blisters are not going to be an ongoing issue. And then you can try to get him through waivers in August and do it that way. But for the next, you know, 5-6 days here, I don't know how Cueto's name is being thrown around.
Alex, help me out here. In football, if the coach is not brought in necessarily by the GM, or the GM's not brought in by the coach, and they keep bringing in talent, and it doesn't, the GM brings in talent, and the coach can't necessarily get them to play to what the GM believed that they could play at, and the coach is disappointed in the talent that he brings in. What, is that the same like in baseball? And if that's so, where is the tipping point here in San Francisco with the Giants?
With their coaching staff?
Yes.
Pretty far down the line, because it's, you know, not only have these guys all been together, I mean, Bobby Evans has been here forever. He grew up in this organization, so he was here when they brought all these guys in. But this coaching staff has been here for a long time. Bruce Bochy, Ron Wotus has survived a few changes. Dave Righetti, too. I think they made their changes last year. I know it's popular for people when things are going wrong to look at the coaching staff. I tend to put it on the players. I think they're the ones who are underperforming on the field. And the one guy, I know Hensley Mullins has taken a lot of heat for their performance on the field this year as far as hitting. And I think, you know, unfortunately, that's just the way this business goes. And he might be the guy who ends up being a fall guy at the end of all this. But you look at what it's done with some of these guys and the level he got some of these kids to when they came up, and
sure,
and helped turn some of these guys into all-star type hitters. I mean, I don't know how you blame him then for the regression. I think you blame the regression on age and on underperformance. So it is going to be something we talk about at the end of the year, I think, particularly with the hitting coach. And, you know, he knows that comes with the gig. But to me, it's more of a talent issue right now. It's more of an issue of, I mean, frankly, we've said it over and over again. It's a team that should be much better. So to me, you blame that on the players.
Giants insider for NBC Sports Bay Area, Alex Pavlovich with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Alex, you've been down in San Jose with Jim Cozumel covering Panda Watch 2017. How's Pablo Sandoval looking, and what's your best guess for when he may join the big club?
Yeah, we got a tour of – we were in Sacramento last night, too, so a tour of the area here. He to me, honestly, didn't look great. I think the bat is a little rusty. I think, you know, he wasn't overwhelmed at all, but I do think that there wasn't a lot of power shown in the 2 days I watched him. Granted, only maybe 7-8 at bats, but watching him take BP too, I mean, that's a little rusty. Defensively, it's going to be an issue, even if he has been doing a lot of work. I mean, he was there in San Jose at noon the other day to do work. So he's trying to get better there, but I do think let's put it this way. It's a good thing to have Brandon Crawford defensively, because he's going to have to help out quite a bit if Pablo is there. But I think, just given what happened last night, before yesterday's game in Sacramento, I had heard Pablo was looking at it maybe a week in Sacramento, and he was going to be up. And you look at what happened with Nunez last night and just kind of some of the other options they have here. They can't really call Jay Huang up right away unless they put somebody on the DL. So I do think we're probably going to see him. I don't think we'll see him this weekend, but I think we'll see him next week at some point during that A series.
While we're on the farm, Jarrett Parker is coming back from the broken collarbone. He had a walk-off homer last night. How close is he to returning, and do the Giants still see him as a possible piece in their outfield next year?
He is close, because, you know, it's a timetable there with that rehab assignment. They restarted it, but at some point you reach that, I think it's about 25 days, and you just have to make moves. So they're certainly not going to, given what they have in the outfield, DFA the guy. I think he will be back up here. Look, he deserves this is a guy who was supposed to come in here and really have that left field job. So he deserves a shot. And I think what I saw last night watching him take BP and then watching him play, he looked healthy. He looked like he has his power back. So I do think this is a guy that the next 2 months we'll see quite a bit of. And that's something this next 2 months has to be about. I mean, this season is lost. The season has been lost for a long time. But you have to start figuring out what some of these guys are. And after all this time, I don't think they quite know what Jarrett Parker is. So to me, you have to run him out there and see if you can find something.
Alex Pavlovich with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. What's your best estimate as to how the Madison Bumgarner contract talks are going to go this offseason? Do you think the organization and Bumgarner finally come to terms on a long-term deal, or is it going to take some more time than just the few months before the start of next season?
You know, I've always been a Bumgarner contract pessimist. I think this is one that's going to go probably to free agency. I just don't see it happening this offseason. I don't see it happening the offseason after that. I think the sides are probably pretty far apart on what they expect. And if you're Madison, I mean, you have all the reason in the world to stretch this out and keep going, because he has shown, and we've seen, he came back from the worst moment of his career. And he has come back pretty strong and come back and been the ace again and looks pretty close to what we saw before. So he has the leverage still. He is still a hero here. And all this losing is not going to hurt his cause, really, because at some point, the fans are going to be frustrated, but they're going to hold on to things that they remember. And you know, Madison Bumgarner being a superstar is something that has always been the case here. So I think I've always thought that Madison kind of has, if he holds on to this and stays healthy, has the Giants over a barrel. So it makes all the sense in the world for him to stretch this out a little bit.
Would this be a signal of an organizational shift if they played a little bit of hardball with Madison Bumgarner, especially in light of the contract that Matt Cain got after World Series heroics? If they play a hard line on Bumgarner, what would that mean for this organization?
You know, I don't know that it's a bigger deal. I think you look at individual cases, and they really, the Matt Cain thing, I mean, that was a huge deal at the time, but they hadn't really handed out those contracts yet, and Matt was in a similar situation, but it wasn't quite the same amount of money that we're talking at. You know, when you talk Bumgarner, you're talking $200 million and more. You're talking $30 million a year. So you're talking a huge, huge deal, and I think that's why it becomes more complicated Other situations they've had, Buster Posey, you know, that was kind of a lifetime Giant type of situation. Brandon Crawford, Brandon Belt, those were guys who the deals were a little bit smaller and guys who were a little bit further away from free agency. So you're locking them in, and certainly those guys had not had their big deals yet. So you're giving them a chance to make that first big chunk of money. Madison's going to, you know, whenever this is over, he's going to have $40, $50 million in the bank. So I think the situation is different all around. And it's going to be complicated. It's going to be one that is much different than what they've dealt with. And I also think, you know, there's a little bit of difference with guys like Crawford who grew up here and grew up wanting to be a Giants fan and other guys who maybe were just looking for comfort. I think Madison, when he gets to that point, he is going to have accomplished a lot in this game and he's going to be looking for his big payday because every pitcher gets that and he has earned that. So that, to me, is where they're going to butt heads.
Follow him on Twitter at PavlovichNBCS. It's Giants Insider for NBC Sports Bay Area. Alex Pavlovich with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Thank you for your time, Alex. We look forward to doing it again next week.
All right, guys. Talk to you then.
Dibs, you are far more man than I am. I'm going to explain what that means next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Dibs, you are far more man than I am.
Please explain.
So, over the weekend, my wife watches that Netflix documentary. I believe it's called What the Health, about the vegan lifestyle. So she decides, let's go vegan for a week. Let's try it. I'm like 2 days in. I commend you. You're how many years in? I'm eating beans and twigs and leaves. Last night, I got halfway through dinner. I was like, I'm just done.
I'm done.
She goes, are you full? I'm like, yeah, I'm just done. Not really full. I'm just done.
Done,
I'm done with this meal, and I'm done with this day. I'm going to go to bed. It's like, it's 7:55. Yeah, I work mornings.
I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done. It's too much. There's too many beans. There's beans in everything.
Beans are great. I'm not a vegan. I'm simply a vegetarian, so I will eat dairy and cheese and whatnot. The vegan life.
I misplayed this one.
Vegan life, very, very difficult. Being a vegetarian, not as difficult, but when you go full vegan, and that, if you're a true vegan, you don't wear leather. You don't wear any product that's come from an animal, whether it's perfume, cologne, deodorant. All that stuff has to be vetted before you put it on.
You're not vegan. Cotton? You're not vegan, Joe, because you wear those leather chaps. You're definitely not vegan.
Look at you. Look at you coming in, making big plays in the fourth quarter. It's good. That's enough. That's enough for one day. Leather chaps. Brad Gilbert in studio with us now. He and Steinmetz are holding it down from 10 to noon today. I believe Bobby Evans will be joining you at 10:30. They made a move last night.
Oh, yeah. They just cleared a little space for the Panda.
Are you excited about the Panda Watch?
What's to be really excited about Bay Area baseball at the moment other than next year?
The hot stove, the winter meetings,
exactly.
Things of that nature.
Evaluation of time. But I can tell you a little bit about vegan.
Yeah, please.
Vegan, if you go and eat vegan, I did it recently in L.A., went to like this hugely hip vegan restaurant. If you're not vegan, I promise you the next day, you're hurting.
Mm.
Or have you ever done like raw vegan and stuff like that? Ooh, the stomach. The stomach not feeling your love.
Did you go to this restaurant for the food, or did you go there because it was hip and trendy and the place to be?
Unfortunately, was taken there. And I'm like looking at the menu, and it's like fake sausage, fake. You got any real sausage? You got any?
Right.
Yeah, I didn't know I was going there until I was taken there. It was hip scenery, everything like that, but it was like, nah, food wasn't my bag.
Okay. So what do you go with in a situation like that?
4-quart spread sometimes. You know, you kind of take the food and spread it around a little bit.
Four corners. He goes four corners on the plate.
Oh, my God.
No, you got to go like, you know, some cauliflower
right.
or some
I've
squash.
Had enough of that. Cauliflower shows up in everything. I've had enough of it. Cauliflower.
Brussels sprouts.
Beans.
Yes, sprouts.
It's like, that's it. We need
broccoli.
A little diversity here. I understand.
Lentils are a good one.
Yeah.
I love lentils.
Black-eyed peas, you know, do something like that.
Collard greens.
Collard greens. Go with the end.
Kudos to the people who live those lifestyles for the discipline. More than anything else, to have the discipline to stick with something like that. Because I'm going to do it for the week.
I couldn't do it.
I'm going to do it for the week. I'm not going to enjoy it.
So I don't waste any calories. I save them for beers. Like, I don't eat any carbs, like wasted carbs. but I've increased my beer drinking and no like white rice, pasta, bread, anything wasted calories for about 15 years. But definitely I waste them on my beer.
So you haven't had a sandwich forever? Or?
No, I don't. And I don't eat bread probably 15 years.
Wow.
No bread. No wasted calories. Gotcha. But like I'll eat like No pasta. But I eat like my wife will make like zucchini pasta or squash pasta. But no white pasta. I ate enough pasta when I was playing for 10 lifetimes. I'm over that.
So what do you two have coming up on the show today? Just a little sample. You don't want to give away the full arsenal.
Bobby Evans, and we have Weissman, Yaron Weissman of Bleacher Report, talking a little b-ball.
Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Brad Gilbert, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't hit the hay at 7:55. Make it to 7:57 tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it just gets to a point where like that dinner, that was it. That was enough day for me. That's what it was. I got halfway through it. We're doing this thing where it's a subscription service, so you get a week's worth of meals.
Right.
So you bring the package out, you look at it.
Get excited.
The marquee attraction was the tofu. It's like, you got to be kidding me with this. So it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to stick with it. Show a little bit of discipline. Not drinking this week or anything like that, which, by the way, coming off the half marathon, I should be allowed to do whatever I want, I assumed. But instead, it's even more discipline. So I got halfway through the meal, and it was like, you know what?
I'm done.
That's enough. That's enough Tuesday for me.
Wow.
Wasn't really tired. Wasn't full. Wasn't satisfied.
Irritable.
Just called it a day. Just one of those days. You know you're not going to win. You know you didn't necessarily lose because you're still a very fortunate human being, but I was ready to walk away with the push. That's what it was.
Especially if you can still get 6 or 7 hours of sleep by shutting it down at 8. It's one thing if you're up till 9:30 feeling that. Now it's already too late to get a good night's sleep.
Do you know what my vegan breakfasts are that I have to look forward
Please
to when I wake
tell
up?
Me.
Brown rice.
No. Juice. Juice. That's what I get. I wake up, there's a thing of juice.
Juice, man. Juice.
Not that juice.
It sounds like you're in the doghouse maybe a little bit. You know, it's like, you know, like I have to sleep in the garage or something like that.
Sounds like it, doesn't it? Doesn't sound like I'm winning. I don't sound like Charlie Sheen over here, do I?
You're
winning?
Not, you're
Tiger
not,
blood?
You're not winning.
None of that stuff.
No, you're happy, though, because you're fit and you're vibrant. You're getting years back on your life. All that smoking you did is behind you. Now it's the new Joe, the runner. Next thing you know, you'll be doing yoga. You're already meditating. You're a whole new guy, Joe. California's getting to you.
That last dude was a much better time to hang out with. That last dude, you could hang out with him till 3 a.m. He'd be on a second pack of smokes. He'd be really pushing that craps table to the maximum. Who knows what would be coming next? Would it be tequila? Would it be wine? You didn't know. That was the fun of that guy. This guy.
Tofu. Tofu and 8 o'clock bedtime.
Tofu Joe. It's like, I'm going to just go to bed. Why? Are you tired? No. Who does that? Who just goes to bed? Because that's it.
Because you know if you say anything, you're probably going to get angry. So you say, you know what? I'm just done.
I wasn't even angry, though. I was just broken.
Yeah, he's a broken man.
He's broken.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even have any fight. It was just neutral. That's life. Neutral. Neutrality. So, like Switzerland. That's how I felt.
Well, if you're looking for something to not be neutral about, Joe.
I need about 90 seconds of something to not be neutral about, please.
If you're heading down tonight to the CONCACAF Gold Cup Final, USA-Jamaica at Levi's Stadium, even if you're not going to that, they're expecting 60,000 people to be down at Levi's tonight. So if you're in and around Santa Clara, 237, 101 Great America Parkway, you're going to hit traffic today. So if you're going to the game, leave early. I know they have a big fan expo going on down there starting at 1:30. Then go early. If you're not going to the game, stay away from Santa Clara tonight because Great America's open. Open for business as per usual, and it's always packed in the summer. And Levi's is going to have 60,000 plus for the Gold Cup final tonight at 6:30.
Great call. Thank you for that update. BG, I completely forgot to talk to you about this. The text line reminded me, in that prop bet, the pro with the frying pan beat the other guy.
He did win.
The frying pan won in the tennis match against the guy with the, I don't know, his 4.6.
4.0 guy? He must have been poor, or the money got to him.
He won the first set, and then he ran out of gas. He was in terrible shape. He lost late. The prop bet, for those of you just tuning in, it was a tennis pro with a frying pan against the guy who's a 4.0. What does that mean exactly?
He's he's a decent club player.
That's me.
Okay,
I'm
so
a 4-0.
Decent club player. Yeah. They had a big prop wager. This was one of those Vegas prop wagers about who would win. The pro with the frying pan ended up winning.
That's impressive. Very impressive.
Much to the dismay of several people I'm friends with. They lost quite a bit of coin on that.
Ouch.
I laughed, not as much in their face as I did behind their back, but it was still pretty funny. All right. Good work, everybody. That's it for us today. Steinmetz, Brad Gilbert are coming up next. They'll have Bobby Evans at 10:30. For Lowe, for Dibs, I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out. We're back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
Jeez, man, don't do this, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.